This is Rusty Tanton.
And Amber Ray.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that's always looking for the good stuff.
And if you find it, please send us an email.
In this episode, we interview Kiki Carr, founder of Pink Eye, Indie Queer Movie Salon.
It's February 21st. This is Amber.
And Rusty.
And he might just be here to observe, but we're here with...
Kiki Carr.
From?
Pink Eye.
And what is Pink Eye?
It's an indie queer movie salon is what I call it in Atlanta, and it's at iDrum Gallery once a month.
And you're the founder?
I am the founder.
How long has it been going on?
The first one was in September of last year.
So it's still kind of new.
Yeah.
What was your inspiration for starting it up?
I kept talking to a lot of my friends about various movies that I'd seen at, like, film festivals and stuff, and they would just give me blank looks. I moved to Atlanta 3 years ago from San Francisco, and so my new friends here were giving me blank looks, and I was like, you people need to see these movies. They are wonderful, exciting movies that have inhabited my imagination for many years. So I was like, great, I'll do it. I'll start bringing these here. And I also have a bunch of filmmaker friends in San Francisco, so I'm like, I'll just get them to send me some DVDs and start doing this.
So you've got the connections.
Yeah, I do.
And you see yourself as providing a public service then of educating the people of Atlanta
about
good movies.
Yes.
So what kind of film festivals have you been to?
A bunch. I've just been a big fan of film festivals for a long time, starting probably with the Gay Film Festival in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. There's one called Frameline that's a week long. I think it's actually now 2 weeks, and just brings in movies from, like, all across the world. Sometimes they play older movies. They play a lot of local stuff, a lot of small films. So it's just something that I always made a point of going to because there's stuff that you absolutely cannot see any other way. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely been a main one. There's a bunch of other little film festivals in San Francisco. There's like a transsexual film festival, sex worker film festival. You name the community, there's a film festival for it. And then in New York, they have the Mix NYC Film Festival. Mm-hmm. And that's more experimentally focused, which is the kind of stuff that I love. So that was definitely a big one as well.
So you're kind of plugged into the... film scene, I guess.
I am, but just as a fan. I haven't ever studied it or, you know, made movies. But
that's where you get most of your ideas of the films to bring to Atlanta as part of Pink Eye.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll think about something that I saw that really just, you know, took fire in my imagination. And I'll usually look up the filmmaker, maybe see what new stuff they've done. Or a lot of times, other film festivals will show that movie with maybe some other movies. So I'll go investigate those other movies as well.
Well, the one that Rusty and I went to last week on Valentine's Day featured some films by Terry Rice, who is a local filmmaker. Mm-hmm. Was that a first, or do you try to bring in local people whenever possible?
That was a first. I would love to bring in more local stuff. Absolutely. I've talked to the guys over at the... Atlanta Underground Film Festival about possibly working with them. Mm-hmm. But the ones I'm mostly familiar are things that have been out for a little while, and they're mostly coming from like San Francisco, New York, Chicago. So I would definitely love to show more Atlanta stuff, and I'm certainly looking for it. In fact, for that program, I put out the word everywhere trying to find more local erotica, queer mm-hmm. erotica, and I was a little bit surprised that there wasn't more, actually.
I was going to ask that. Is there a dearth of it? Because I get this feeling sort of like two opposing feelings in a way. Like, one that, you know, there really isn't that much. And obviously there's a lot going on in San Francisco and New York seems to be the two, you know, places where they've really got a lot of stuff going on, but not as much here. But then I also sometimes get the feeling that there is stuff going on in Atlanta, but... I just don't know about it. Or if you don't know the right people, then you don't know it even exists.
Right.
What do you think about that?
That's definitely been my experience since moving here. San Francisco, well, first of all, it's geographically small, so if you have particular interests, you can pretty easily run into other people with those interests, which is not so much true of Atlanta, of course. But in San Francisco, I think because of the whole dot-com thing, because so many people were employed in that, like, people got really used to connecting across the internet.
Right.
Here, people still, it's word of mouth. It's somebody calling you saying, hey, come to my show. It's, you know, seeing a flyer for the 14th time. So I've definitely experienced that as a difficulty, both in hooking up with other communities that would be interested in Pink Eye, and also with just getting the publicity out, too.
Because I was really happy to just find out about Pink Eye, and, you know, that was sort of by chance. And I feel like, well, maybe there's other pockets of these things going on.
And you found out about that by the internet, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how I roll.
Right. Me too. I'm very familiar with that world and very happy to market that way. But yeah, it's been a bit of a challenge getting it out here because people don't tend to think of the internet as where you go to find out what to do.
So what has the reception been like since you started up Pink Eye?
It's actually completely amazed me and definitely made me believe that there are a lot of people in Atlanta who are just hungry for this kind of stuff, which is totally encouraging. I mean, when I started doing it, I thought, you know, maybe we'll get 20, 25 people to come out, other, you know, serious film heads or something.
That place was packed the other night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually the last, we've had one that wasn't packed, and it was the day after Halloween.
Oh.
All of the other ones have been, like, we've had at least 60, 70 people, which for that kind of a thing is pretty amazing in Atlanta. So the reception has been great. We've been on the right foot with media since the beginning. Like,
Felicia, how'd you work that?
I feel like we just lucked into it, actually. And I think Atlanta's totally hungry for this. Like, right. There's a lot of artsy people here. There's a lot of really smart people here. There's a lot of film people here. Mm-hmm. But there's not a lot of indie film stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So I think there's definitely interest in it.
Is it really sort of like a lack of cohesion then? Because that's one thing that we've been talking about with people that we know in the technology community and podcasting and blogging type of communities, that there's a lot of people in Atlanta doing these things, but in a lot of cases they don't know about each other or aren't working together. Do you see kind of the same thing?
I do. I mean, I have to say, The media really totally came out for us. The first one that I did in September, nobody here knows me or knows what I'm capable of or what even I really intended to do. But Felicia Feaster over at Creative Loafing, like, said, well, we can't run an article on you, but here I'm going to put you up in our little, like, top five things people think are cool. And so got me some publicity that way. Sovo has been putting us in their listings, like, they ran a whole big article on us in December. Charles Jordan over at Cinema ATL has run big articles on his website a few times, and he has a really kick-ass indie cinema website. But I was going to say, I think that part of why people don't seem so connected here, mm-hmm. I think, is a failure of media, frankly. Like, I don't think any of the papers that we have do a good job of covering anything indie. They have this concept that, like...
Well, we definitely have plenty of thoughts and complaints about the local media as well.
Definitely. So...
Yeah. I mean, they didn't cover SoCon at all, which is a conference that was 2 weekends ago, social media conference. They weren't there.
Right. Exactly.
They're not going to hear this, but hey, if you do, where were you?
I mean, we can say anything we want because they're not listening.
Exactly.
So what are your, I guess, sort of long-term goals or ideals or anything behind this Pink Eye project?
When I started it, one of my big goals, in addition to, you know, educating and informing and just sharing stuff that I thought was just amazing, interesting work, was in sort of bringing together a community. Mm-hmm. Because I think events like this are the time that somebody will come out from Tucker, somebody will come out from wherever and see each other, and the next time they see each other someplace, talk to each other or maybe hook up on the same blog, you know, or list or something. So I'm definitely hoping to pull together a community, and it feels like that's starting to happen. I think that's we've got a long road to go with that, but
yeah. I think even though it can be hard to find things that are happening, it's sort of like once you do, you start to see that there are, like, all these connections. I mean, a lot of people talk about Atlanta it's a big city, but it's also sort of like a small town.
Right.
And that's really true. Mm-hmm. Like, I always find these connections. Like, Terry Rice, turns out, is a photographer who works with this girl, Carissa, who teaches pole dancing at Aphrodite's Toy Box, where I took pole dancing for a while. And, like, all these connections start to come up.
Carissa was supposed to perform for our Pink Eye Night that you went to, but she wasn't able to, sadly.
So you got good in Flitting Burlesque.
We did.
Awesome. So.
Good and Flitting was at the fashion show.
Yes, again, mm-hmm. another connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely sort of movers and shakers that circulate in different communities. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the other thing I'm hoping to do is that I really saw in San Francisco, and maybe it's a little bit different because people there are pretty media literate, but I really saw people going to film festivals, mm-hmm. being inspired by that, and saying, I can do that, mm-hmm. getting out their video camera, making their 3-minute film, submitting it, and getting it into the next film festival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's another thing, is that I'm hoping it will inspire people here to do stuff that's also really interesting and different, because I have to say I've gone to the, I only went once to the Out on Film here, the Gay mm-hmm. Film Festival, and admittedly they're not trying to make it about indie or experimental movies.
Right.
But I was really disappointed. It was so mainstream, really? Boring, romantic comedy kind of stuff that I was just like, wow. This is not what I enjoy watching at all.
I haven't been. I
don't go.
I guess I expected it to be a little more indie, but
yeah,
interesting. Well, what kind of I guess criteria do you have? Any loosely defined or more strictly defined criteria of what you will show?
I do, and it is a pretty loose definition. It's really crystal clear in my own mind, but
right. Well, it always is.
But
now
I'll
try to explain it.
Expressing it is a little bit harder. I think the little tag that I send out in the email is something like transgressive, hot, disturbing, edgy, experimental, independent, or just plain hot. I think I say that several times for emphasis.
Yeah.
Mostly because I'm interested in showing stuff that is different, mm-hmm. but is absolutely compelling, will keep your attention. I'm not interested in showing the long, slow whatevers. And sexy. I'm interested in stuff that's sexy. So, that's the kind of stuff that I want to show.
How would you define what makes something queer erotica or queer porn? I know there are different people have different definitions of what makes it, and one that I've heard people talk about is if there's two guys in it and they touch, suddenly it's queer porn. What do you think about that?
Well, for my purposes, queer stuff I would say more has an independent focus,
right.
versus like gay
right.
porn, right? Gay porn is it's two guys doing whatever. Queer stuff, I think, tends to be a little bit edgier and a little bit more difficult.
So the transgressive part of what you were talking
about. Yeah, definitely. Like the one that I showed at the last one, Squishy does porno.
That was great. Yeah. We loved that.
That's one of my favorite of all times, mm-hmm. because it's smart. You don't feel like they're talking down to you.
Mm-hmm.
There's fags, there's dykes, there's straight people, there's bisexuals going crazy.
There was
a
chicken.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, that's really interesting. Maybe I'm not into one of those particular combinations. That's okay. I'm into the other ones,
right.
So that's definitely been, what I wish porn would be, but it's not, sadly.
Well.
In general.
But, I think it's great that you're, at least exposing this a little bit more to people of Atlanta. We need it.
Yes. So
you're doing good work.
Thank you.
Any future plans or upcoming events that you'd like to talk about?
I would love to talk about our next upcoming one, actually. We are really excited to have Robert Coddington. He's an archivist based in LA who's been archiving. He's actually taken over several archives, but he's got the video archives from all these crazy club kids from New York, all these crazy performers, drag queens, Ron Athey, RuPaul, people like that I think in another 15 years are going to be, considered basically essential queer history.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, they're still a little bit edgy. But he's got all of that stuff, and he is putting on a night where he's showcasing all the performers, which before I met him, I had no idea there were so many, who moved from Atlanta to New York and became superstars. Lady Bunny, Larry T, RuPaul, Jane County. Jane County was, who now lives here taking care of her elder parents, was, I think, perhaps the first transsexual punk rock performer. She was right up there with Debbie Harry and the Ramones at CBGB's in the early 70s, which was incredible.
Oh, yeah, you talked about her a little bit at the...
Pink Eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she actually is going to DJ because she's back in town.
Very cool.
And Robert Coddington is going to show, for one, Star Booty, which is this ridiculous 20-minute movie that RuPaul made when he was teeny tiny. Like, he looks like he's about 17. You know, I don't know. But he's really skinny and really tall and really cute. And a total gender fuck, too. Not straight-up drag queen, which is kind of interesting to see the evolution of that. So there's going to be some real gems here that you cannot get this shit. That was my other big point with Pink Eye. I don't want to show stuff you can get on Netflix. I don't want to show stuff you can rent at your local video store. I don't want to show stuff that you might see on TV or anywhere else. I want to show stuff that you got to come to Pink Eye to see it, because that's probably your one and only chance.
Right.
So that's what I'm hoping to do, too.
Cool. And just one last thing. I never knew that all those people... We're from Atlanta.
Yeah. What if they had stayed here, damn it?
Well, do you think that maybe now you're helping to build a community where creative people like that will stay here instead of going to New York and becoming famous? They'll stay here and become famous.
Exactly. I hope so.
All right. Well, is there a website or anything that people can check out?
You can go to our MySpace, which is Pink Eye Film, www.myspace.com/PinkEyeFilm. Or we also have a Yahoo group, which is Pink Eye Flicks. You can go to Yahoo Groups and type in Pink Eye Flicks.
All right, cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
Interested in podcasting? Want to mingle with other podcasters or learn how to get started yourself? Then mark your calendar for PodCamp Atlanta, happening March 16th through 18th at Emory University. For more information and to add yourself to the registration list, visit podcampatlanta.com. And by the way, it's free. The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.